Welcome back to the Iron Insight. Thank you for starting your week off right with the Iron Insight every Monday morning at 4 a.m. I'm Bryn Welds.
And I'm Andrew Nichols with Sullen Leatherworks.
And today we're sitting down with Justin LaFond with ESOB. How's it
What's
going?
What's up? Good, guys. Got me early in the morning here at the home shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, we normally don't film on Fridays. Normally it's just Saturdays, but we figured why not when we can get you, because you're a busy man. Like you were saying before we started filming, you've been on the road quite a bit.
Well, yeah, I rocked that platinum status with all of them. You know, American Airlines, Hilton Honors, Enterprise, National. They keep it moving.
What airport do you typically fly out of?
So I used to. I'm closer to Greenville, Spartanburg, but I've been doing this a long time, and I'm a direct flight guy. So I can get some direct flights. Like, I've been very happy. They now have direct flights to Dallas, and, of course, I go there a lot. We have a facility in Denton. But Charlotte Douglas is kind of the go-to. It's an American hub on the East Coast. So it just depends on where I can get a direct flight. You know, I do my best to not hit connectors because they just leave a lot of, you know, room for problems, and I like to get my ass home, you know, because you never get hung up on the way to work. I always get to work fine. It's always trying to get my ass back home that you start having issues, you know. So I use both Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charlotte Douglas. You know, Charlotte Douglas about an hour and a half from the house. Greenville's about 40 minutes.
Nice. So. And before we started, you had said that you've been with ESOB for 9 years, right?
Yep.
Wow, so you've been with them for a little bit. This isn't a new thing.
Oh, I mean, you don't usually get to a role like mine new, right? Like when you're doing field application engineering, you know, that's one of them things where you got to really kind of be familiar with what we do. Yeah. You know, because you're the one out there, you know, expected to make it work, whether you're using bubble gum and duct tape, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever you got to do, you know, to patch it together and get the end user rolling or whatever the case is, you know. So it's one of them roles where you kind of got to be around it for a while. And then, you know, in our particular role with what we do at ESOB, you know, it's not a regular role. You know, it ain't a 40-hour a week, you know, punching a clock type of job. You know, it's definitely more of a, you know, 60, 70, 80 hour a week. You got to be pretty passionate about welding to do what we do. And it's a very small group that does it.
So where'd you start at with the company? Because right now I'm going to call it you're on the Making ESOB Cool Again campaign right now.
So I don't know if it's making it cool. You know, in my opinion, ESOB was trying to live off their European culture. You know, obviously over the pond, ESOB is like 70% market share, you know, so they're kind of the big dog over there. And they try to use that same, you know, structure and culture over there, over here, and that shit just don't work. You know, so in my opinion, I'm just trying to build ESOB's North American culture.
Well, you did that really well with that mini truck doing, you know, donuts.
Oh my God, dude.
I mean, I thought that was fucking great. I was like, you know what? That's peak marketing right there. That is awesome.
When Johnny called me about that idea, you know, he called me and he said, hey, man, I want to do something. I want to see if you're interested. He said, kind of want to make it like the Red Bull of welding. And I was like, Red Bull of welding? You jumping out of airplanes and shit? Well, you were like, what? Well, you know, and he's like, well, not jumping out of airplanes. And he pitched his idea. And I was like, well, that's, you know, he sent me this little hand drawing. He actually posted it on his story, you know, and I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? Oh, am I allowed to cuss on here? I don't know how this
works. Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're good. Whatever you want.
Yeah, so I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? You know, and he calls and explains what he wants to do, and I'm like, I mean, I ain't never seen no shit like that. I was like, but I'm down to come give it a twirl. I was like, I ain't getting in the back of that damn truck, but I'll watch you do some dumb shit, you know, and it was a blast. I love Johnny. You know, he's high energy, lots of ideas, really good at marketing, and just a ton of fun to be around. So, yeah, that was something different. I had never seen him before, you know, and it took quite a bit of figuring shit out to make it work because, of course, you know, he shows up with, like, you know, I bring all the welding equipment. I bring my chop saw. I'm like, you got material to fab this up? Oh, yeah, don't worry about it, you know. Show up that morning, he starts laying out, you know, fucking Lowe's, you know, 1-inch 16th angle iron and shit. And I'm like, Pearl Snap Pimp come here with Mickey Mouse steel. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this shit? You know, I mean, but you know, we made some vodka out of potatoes with that shit and got it fabbed up and you know, got it rolling, and it was a lot of fun, man. He's a good dude, you know, and I've needed his help, and he showed up. So when he asked for my help, I'm gonna show up. You know, that's kind of how I operate, you know. And it was fun, dude. That drift truck, it was super cool. We were on some ranch out in Georgia, outside Atlanta. A beautiful ranch, you know, and then all of a sudden there's a drift pit, you know, in the middle of this ranch. And I'm like, oh my God, you know. And then the next thing I know, there's just trucks that keep, you know, pulling up over the hill, over the pasture to the pit as we're working. By the time we got done, there must have been 30, 40 trucks out there, cars, you know. And as I'm working, they're just out there drifting, you know. It's like, everybody, you know, I'm welding, and I'm like, man, all I can smell is burning tires. You know what I'm saying? It was fun. I had a headache by the time I went home, you know, nothing but squealing tires and whatnot and people yelling. But it was a good time, man. Johnny cracks me up. I love working with him. He's a ton of fun. And like I said, you know, I invited him out to Texas when we did the video shoot for the engine drive. Yeah. And you know, used his rig truck and whatnot for the video that'll be posting soon. And you know, that was really just a favor as a friend. So when he called, I returned the favor, man. Showed up and showed out for him, brought all the welding equipment, you know, fabbed everything up and slung his ass in the back of that truck and watched him get slung around for a while and laughed my ass off the whole time. You know, and it was funny because he was real confident. You know, I told him, I was like, man, it's going to be hard to keep arc on that pipe. Oh no, it would be all right. It was hard to keep an arc when you're getting slung around like that. You know what I'm saying? Finally got him switched over to a 7018. I was like, you can pull more arc length with that, man. You might have a little more luck than that 6010, you know? So it was fun. You know, it took a while to get it all figured out and get it down. But once he was in there, and it was cool because, you know, the truck spinning tires and he would strike an arc and you could see the glow in the middle of all the smoke, you know, and like his mask. And I think the videos will be really cool when they get done editing them and push them out there, because it was pretty neat, you know. That's the fun stuff.
What's your official title at ESOB?
Jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife. My official title is field application engineer.
So yeah, what do they think? Like, have you heard anything back about these videos you've been doing
from ESOB?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At first, okay, so backing up, ESOB have been trying to get me on the camera for a long time. You know, I did a lot of internal training videos and stuff, but I would never do anything external on the camera for them, mostly just because I'm a grumpy old welder and, you know, fucking internet welders and, you know, all that shit. I went to them last year, you know, asking for a big boy chunk of money to go do blue collar tour, you know, with Western.
Yeah.
And you know, that was kind of their end. They were like, if we give you this money, you gotta support it on all marketing channels. You know, and I was really into the blue collar tour, you know, pushing it to the next generation is kind of my jam. You know, that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So I agreed to it, and, you know, it all went really well. So, I mean, then it just kind of blew up from there. But at first they didn't know what the fuck to do with me. You know, I refused to read any of their scripts, right? Because they're not written by welders. And if it's something that I wouldn't fucking say in the field, I'm not going to say it on your camera either. So at first it was like, they had no idea what to do with me. And I kept saying shit that I wasn't allowed to say on the internet, you know, on their page at least, you know? And so it took a little while for them to, I guess, semi-train me, but also loosen their reins a little bit and understand that the internet isn't a boardroom, you know, and it's okay to be a little more funny and risky and shit like that on the internet. You know, that's what grabs attention and gets views. But I think we both had to learn each other a little bit, right? Like, they weren't used to a hillbilly like me from the trailer park. And you know, I wasn't necessarily used to that big corporate white collar life either. You know, so there was a lot of getting to know each other. But it's been fun, you know, exhausting and a journey. And I have learned a shit ton, because prior to January this year, I really just had social media to make sure my teen girls weren't doing dumb shit on TikTok and Instagram. You know what I'm saying? So I've had to get quite an education just on how the hell to use social media, you know what I'm saying, and make a post. But once I found out that I could use social media as a tool, you know, for my job, I bought in. You know, I mean, to me, I grew up all blue. All right. My dad's a welder. He was a welder for whatever, 48 years. I didn't weld with anything but Miller till my late 20s. But as I ventured out, you know, away from him and whatnot, well, hell, I started learning everything welds. You know, ain't really the weld machine. Everybody has their preference, you know. But I got to ESOB. They recruited me like 3 times over 5 years. I was working at a distributor at the time. You know, background, I was working as a welder. Like 08, 09 happened. The housing crash, all that shit. I was about to have a kid, had independent insurance, and the distributor we were using was recruiting me for a while. And I was making a percentage as the lead fabricator. So I went from making really good money to shit money and paying independent insurance and about to have a kid. And, you know, so I called that distributor and was like, hey, you still interested? And they were like, you willing to move? Because I was living in Georgia at the time. So, you know, they moved me up to North Carolina. I went to work for them. Started as a store manager, only did that for a few months. They moved me into outside sales, did that for a while, got bored. Sales really wasn't my jam. I was good at it. So then I went into cryogenic tech, you know, installing those big liquid tanks like you see outside hospitals and all that shit, vaporizers, all that, inspecting them, pulling vacuums. And the whole time ESOB had been recruiting me, like I said, like 3 times over 5 years. When they first were coming around, I was a single parent to a daughter, and I couldn't do the travel shit. You know, and by the third time, you know, situations had changed. I had a new amazing old lady. My family was living here. I had help. So I originally went to work with them in sales, you know, did that for a few years. Once again, I did well, but it wasn't my jam. You know, I got fat and shit because I was just like riding around and talking on the phone, not working for a living no more. So, you know, I got fat and, you know, just I wasn't real happy with it. Just wasn't for me, right? Like I was good at it, but I didn't really find any, you know, happiness in it. You know, there was nothing in it that I was like, man, that was cool, you know, to me. So anyway, I ended up moving into the and when I was in sales, they had figured out that I'd made an arc or two and knew a thing about welding. So they already had me like teaching equipment classes and shit to their sales reps because I was like one of the number one reps in the country as far as equipment and shit went. So it was kind of a natural progression to move over to the field application engineering department. And that's basically what we do. We teach a lot, develop equipment, do a lot of customer facing shit with the big end users, go try to help, you know, either win business or save business, process development when customers call and they want you to come in and, you know, look over what they're doing and they're either looking for a cheaper, faster way to do it. And, you know, you get some ideas, pitch it to them, do testing. But here this year, my job has definitely been more development and teaching. I've spent way less time this year customer facing. Just because of the development of all this new equipment that we have coming. You know, I think we got like, I can't remember, 60 new launches this coming year.
Holy cow.
And of course, that's not all machines, right? We own Tweco. So, sure. You know, MIG guns, hoods, you know, machines. I mean, we own a lot of companies. But there's just been the engine drive, really, the last 18 months of my life has been a big part of it. Obviously, we haven't done that here. In North America, we sell them in a lot of other countries, just not the US, North America. So we were starting from scratch, right? So, I mean, it was a process. We custom built a inverter power block around the Kohler motor and the generator and, you know, basically really just started from nothing. So it's been a lot of work, you know, and then a lot of people have seen me on the internet with that machine out and about, you know, because people keep whining that they can't buy it yet, but they keep seeing it on the internet. And when they see me on the internet with it, I'm bringing it out there to get feedback, right, on what people like, don't like, what point, you know, pain points they have with their current engine drive that they'd like to see different. And then I'm tweaking and adjusting and bringing it back out. And, you know, I've kind of really built this machine off the voice of the customer. Right. Like the voice of the welder when I bring it out and, you know, I make tweets to it and think it's great and then let other guys I trust that are, you know, stud ass hands out here in the market run it and give me feedback. And, you know, and then I go back, you know, I'll just put another update in it now. But I'm going to do some testing when we get done on some higher amperage tick. So, I mean, I'm really driving to try to make this machine, you know, do shit that the red and blue ones don't. You know, so it's been, that's been a big part of the last year of my life, has been that engine drive, you know, and teaching. There's been a ton of that. So
would you say that, like, the anticipation and the lead up of the launch of the engine drive is bigger than the Volt was?
Absolutely.
That's crazy. But why wasn't there a booth at FabTech this year?
I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it since you got me on camera and all that. You know, that's kind of a tough one. Poor decision making, I guess, is what we'll say. And those decision makers are no longer with us. So that's as far as I'll stay on that one.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to dive into that rabbit hole. You know, I still got to get a paycheck, boys.
Poor decision-making, and they're no longer here with us.
Yeah, as far as I'm going to go on that one, you know, we are anticipating. Great. And we did an event, you know, just it was not at FabTech. It was in Chicago at the Hancock Building, you know, up on the 94th floor of the Chicago 360. You know, we rented out the whole floor, had,
yeah,
you know, invited a bunch of people, had Bo Jackson speak, you know. So we still tried to, you know, last minute make something happen. So, like, at least people knew we were in town. But, yeah, piss poor decision making is what I'm going to chalk that one up to.
Fair enough.
Because I think the ESOP booth in Orlando was, like, one of the more popular booths. There was a lot going on in there.
That's what pissed me off, right? I felt like over the last couple years, we had really grown a lot of momentum. You know, I feel like we do our booth a little different every year, and it's usually rocking and arcs and sparks flying all over the place, and we're doing welding competitions and giveaways and, you know, tons of influencers and all that. So that's what really pissed me off, is I felt, you know, we had really been growing a lot of traction, and then all of a sudden, to pull the plug, I was like, you know, I ain't got no MBA, but this math ain't mathing to me, y'all. What the hell going on, you know? So, I mean, that was kind of the aggravating part for us little guys on the ground when we found out about it, was, you know, we work, like, when I go to FabTech, I'm there 15 days. You know, we set up, and then me and my counterpart weld in the heavy equipment booths all week, and then we tear down. You know, so it's a whole ass ordeal for us. And we tend to take a little bit more pride in it than most, maybe because it's a very small team of us that set that whole thing up, you know, and then do the welding through it and tear it down. So, you know, yeah, I was pissed, you know, but who am I? I just work here. I don't make the decisions. If I did, I wouldn't be on this podcast with y'all. I'd be at the beach somewhere, you know, having a drink, boys. You know, but we are planning to, you know, be in Vegas again and, you know, show up and show out. So, you know, I'm excited about that.
You know, it did kind of work out, though, that you guys had that event in the Hancock Building, because while we were at other events, some people, like, you heard people talking about, oh, ESOP's allegedly got some event at this building.
Well, it was very much, hey, there's this secret club going on. I wonder what they're doing over there. Like, it was, I think it had a desired effect, even if y'all meant it that way or not. It had a good effect, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we were just trying to do something, right? You can't just not show up. I mean, when I found out about it, I was like, who the hell gets an invite to the Super Bowl and doesn't go? You know, like, you get an invite to the Super Bowl, you go to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, let's be honest, in the welding world, FabTech is kind of the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. So it's like, how the hell do you get an invite to the Super Bowl and not go? But we wanted to do something and to create a buzz. And, you know, that's kind of, so we did an event like this right after COVID in Atlanta. You know, a lot of people didn't show up to that first one because we just didn't think the people would show up right out of COVID when they did the first FabTech. I think it was in Atlanta.
That would have been Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, and we did an event with Terry Bradshaw there. You know, we didn't actually do FabTech, but we did an event similar to Chicago, brought Terry Bradshaw in, which was super cool. He brought in, like, he does bourbon and cigars. So it's like she shipped in crates of bourbon and cigars. And apparently his dad was a tank welder in Louisiana.
Huh.
I had no idea. So, I mean, he was really cool after he did his little speech. I mean, he was hanging out, smoking cigars, drinking bourbon with everybody, you know. So that event went really well. So when we didn't end up, we were like, hey, let's kind of do like what we did in Atlanta and do a different offsite event. And we ended up with Bo Jackson this time. Still one of my childhood heroes. I had the Bo Knows Your Mama poster. I don't know how you guys, how old you guys are.
I know,
but
Bo
I'm
Jackson.
An old man. I'm an old man, so I grew up with him. So that was cool. So anyway, it was kind of a playoff of what we had done, you know, in Atlanta a few years back. Is where we had the idea, and it worked out. It was better than nothing, right?
Yeah. In Atlanta, was it more like, you know, big name customers that were invited to that one? Because that was our first FabTech, so we didn't really know what was going on in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, we invite like our, you know, obviously they call it VIPs, but a lot of like the big wigs from our big customers and distributors, you know, a lot of big shipyard guys, you know, VPs and presidents of your distribution, you know, Airgas, Roberts, Arc3, Gas Supply, you know, all that, Norco, and then some other, you know, there's other really big end users as well that we deal with that get invited. In Chicago, I invited a lot of people that weren't on the list. But, you know, and Aesop saw it and called me and was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, listen, man, I got to make these people think Aesop's cool. I'm like, you want to know what's not fucking cool? Not going to FabTech.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. Like, yeah. Who are you? Like, who are you to call me out for that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just trying to save face. You know what I'm saying? So I invited a bunch of people that weren't on the list and it ended up being fine. But at first they're like, what are you doing? I was like, saving face. You know, I mean. Yeah, not showing.
I also think it's got a lot to do with it because none of these other, you know, because you were one of the, you know, the big three, you know, Aesop, Lincoln, Miller. Mm-hmm. Lincoln and Miller, yeah, they have their taps there at, you know, FabTech and all that, but they don't want us small guys in their booth. They, you know, they just look at us and then go back to their big wigs. So for you to invite smaller guys or social media influencers, I think that looks better on you guys.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're trying so to connect.
Yeah, exactly right. To me, you know, and this is just one man's opinion. This ain't Aesop's opinion or any of that shit. To me, the big three had gotten so far away from what we really are. You know, it's all wingtips and khakis and business meetings and data sheets and spreadsheets. And,
absolutely.
I learned as being a welder, if you can win the welders over, the rest will come.
Yeah.
You know, welders are some finicky bitches, all of us. You know what I'm saying? And we like what we like, and we ain't gonna fuck with what we don't like. You know, so to me, it was like, you know, let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to focusing on the welding. Let's get back to focusing on the welding community. Like, let's do events to push this community forward, to get more eyeballs on the welding community, to get more people involved, you know? And then it just so happens that I'm just a hillbilly from the trailer park, and that's what I enjoy doing. So, you know, it's been fun to be able, for them to let me, right? For them to have the trust in me to let me go out there and do these things that I'm doing, you know, to me says a lot, you know, because it's a corporate company. And if you've never worked for one, corporate companies can be, you know, by the book. There ain't no gray. It's all, you know, black and white. And if it ain't in the company handbook, it don't matter, you know, type shit. So the fact that they've let me go out and do some shit that's a little off of their norm, you know, to me said a lot about the trust they have in me and what they're letting me do. Because they don't let me just go do it. They give me the money to go do it, too. You know, and it ain't cheap to go do these big events and whatnot and fly people out and bring my people out and get equipment there and do giveaways. And, you know, there's a lot of background logistics and stuff like that that go into it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I hope they see like what you're doing and the effect that it's had and continue to do it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know, if you'd ask me after FabTech and especially with this FabTech, I probably wouldn't have thought of Aesop at all this year, but
most people didn't. That was my whole point, is we weren't even relevant.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't really even in the conversation, like unless it was filler metal or cutting tables, you know, because Aesop's always been good at filler metals and cutting tables here in the U.S. I mean, if it wasn't that, we weren't really even in the conversation. So my whole point is I just want to be in the conversation. I ain't saying I'm going to win them all. I just want to be relevant enough to be in the conversation, you know, and Aesop isn't, you know, at the moment when it comes to equipment. You know, if it's Filler Metals or Tweeko or Victor or Studi or Arc Air, all those other household names, you know, yeah, we're in the conversation. But when it comes to equipment, yellow doesn't really even come up, you know, especially at the big boys, right? So I'm just trying to bring brand awareness, right? Letting people know yellow's out there. You know, we working hard every day to get better here in the North American market. We're working to build, you know, ESOP's culture here in the North American market. You know, we far from perfect, but we're working hard every day to get better, you know. And then the nicest part about it is ESOP will listen. You know, part of the thing with this engine drive is we're trying to price this thing well below red and blue. You know, I feel the engine drive market was really starved for competition. You know, I mean,
it definitely is.
Huh. Yeah, you know, a Bobcat in 2019 was like $4,200. You go buy one now, it's $8,000. You know, so whatever, 6 years, the price has been ridiculous. So I feel if we can get that machine with, you know, operating really well, great weld performance, and keep that thing, you know, like $1,000 below the other guys, you know, maybe that will create a little competition, keep everybody a little more honest. I just felt like it was really starved for some new blood in the engine drive market. So that was the whole point, is we try to keep our equipment below the competition as well. People like to say, oh, well, ESOP's cheaper. It's not cheaper. We strategically price it below the competition to gain market share, right? Most people don't think of us. So you got to get attention to get it in their hands for them to try it. And what gets attention? Dollars, right?
Yep, so, better price.
Exactly. So we strategically price it below to get it in the hands to get an opportunity, you know? You know, that being said, that was why we started traveling down that road. And I'll be honest, I think I even, you know, extremely underestimated how starved that market was for a little competition, you know, after seeing the responses and whatnot. I mean, we've already pre-sold a ass load of those engine drives, and we ain't even launched them yet.
Yeah, Ty Linker, I don't know if he was talking to you or who he was talking to, but he said he was going to put one in the back of his rig truck. He's a pipeliner.
I know,
but
Ty. Good dude.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't putting it in the back, though. If it's yellow, it's got to be black or gray or something. I was like, well, sounds about right.
My unit, well, the first unit I had, when I went to take it out, they didn't want anybody to know what it was. Bought black vinyl and wrapped the whole thing. And it looked gangster as shit. I ain't gonna lie to you. Everywhere I brought it, people were like, yeah, I put a Benford sticker on it as a joke. You know, I'm old, so I watch Tool Time. You know what I'm saying? Put a Benford 6100 sticker on the side of it. And I'd bring it out. It was funny because, like, the older cats would laugh and they knew what it was. And the younger kids would be like, who's Benford? They make engine drives? You know, they had no idea what Tool Time was back in the day. But that all blacked out everywhere I brought it. People loved it. You know, so right now, obviously, they're yellow and black, but we're talking about, you know, a year out, we're going to add some additions to it. And we're talking about maybe doing like a murdered out Texas edition because we're going to build these in Texas.
That's cool. Yeah, like a matte gray or black or something. There's something.
We're thinking like matte black, but then like the Texas State and the ESOP emblems being like black chrome.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So they kind of pop, you know, but make it like a murdered out edition, maybe bed liner, Line-X the top of it or something. Give it a little more rugged, you know, gangster look.
Absolutely.
For the limited, you know, Texas edition one. So we got some ideas we're going to do. Obviously, I love the old black, but ESOP serious about that yellow. They don't play no games with that shit.
Yup.
So it was a little bit of a battle, but I think they're into it. So, you know, I still have the all blacked out one. You know, I'm going to keep it as sentimental value and rebuild it when we start getting new parts in because, you know, it was the very first one. So it's far from what these production units are going to be. But that unit has a lot of my sweat and time in it, so it's kind of got some sentimental value to it. And, you know, once we get these things rolling, I'll order the parts and rebuild that one just to keep, you know, as the very first one, you know, and what I built it off of, you know. But the all black will look gangster. I've had numerous people, you know, like Lino with Texas Made recently reached out and was like, man, I love that machine, but I want an all black one just like, you know, Ty and everybody else. And I'm like,
yeah,
I sent him the link from Amazon. I was like, here's the vinyl I ordered, dog. He was like, I made one. And, you know, that engine drive is just the beginning. You know, ESOP plans to have up to 500 ampere packs in the next 5 years. You know, so we're kicking off the next one. And, you know, we're going to try to go diesel and, you know, jump on up there into the big boy status. You know, this was the first one of, and you know, a Bobcat is a service machine, right? You know, the MTX 260 is a service machine. So, you know, this is kind of a more of a service machine, but you know, got to start somewhere, and I'm ready to, you know, get this one rolling and get it out there, get it in manufacturing and get rolling on its big brother, you know, and keep this thing going. So we got big plans. Big, big plans, bro.
For some reason, I did see that video that Ty posted about the ESOB welder, but that's like one of the last people I would have expected to be that open to about it. We had him on the podcast a little bit over probably a year ago now.
Ty's a good dude. I don't remember how I got linked up. Oh, through Colton at Western Welding Academy. Oh, okay. So Colton up there, you know, Whiskey Wayne, you know, is a buddy of mine, real good dude, you know. And we were talking one day, and we're always throwing ideas at each other, you know, bullshit and drinking beer or whatever. I'm at a hotel, and I can't remember what idea I pitched, but he brought up Ty, and, you know, what Ty does with that shielded metal thing he does. And then he had wanted to say last year he had like an influencer competition.
Yeah, Shield Arkham Showdown. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, so he knew Colton. I knew Colton. Colton ended up getting me connected with him to kind of pick his brain. And that's how I met Ty. But great dude. I've, you know, talked with him numerous times. I enjoy talking with him. You know, very knowledgeable. Still out there doing his thing, you know, on them right of ways. You know, so more power to him. I'm too old and fat for that shit. I ain't trying to be out there doing that. You know, but yeah, Ty's a good one, man. I enjoy him. We supported his event this year. You know, I was supposed to be out there, but ESOB yanked me away from it at the last minute to go teach. They don't play with my schedule very much, but if they're bringing people in for a class, I usually get trumped and end up having to be there. So I sent one of my counterparts out, and he did a great job. Actually, this is what I got back from it. He brought me back a hoodie since I wasn't able to head out there.
Yeah, that was the guy that was at Arkansas a few months back.
Chris. Yeah,
yeah, he was a nice guy. I talked to him. He's a jam up guy. He did a really good job because I was there as a vendor as well.
So. Okay. So a year ago is when I met him, less than a year ago, and he was working in our OxyFuel lab, you know, punching a clock in Denton. And I met him and I dragged him out one day to a blue collar stop. I heard he was a welder, and the dude busted his ass. He could weld. And so I went back and met with his boss and was like, we got this dude in the wrong place. You know, he's got a great personality. He knows how to weld. He ain't scared to sweat and get dirty. I was like, we need this cat out in the field. Let's make this happen. And so July this year, we were able to get him into a role that's got him out there in the field, doing more hands-on stuff like that and supporting our reps, right? Not all our sales reps are welding guys. You know, they're sales guys. They're relationship guys. They're number guys. They're great at what they do, but they don't know welding. So we're trying to get more hands on board, and we've hired some more since Chris and all the regions to where they can go out and help the sales guys and be more technical, hands-on guys, welding guys, setting up, process guys, and just more resources, right? All falling back into getting back to our roots. You know, if you don't know, a lot of these big three don't hire anybody without a college degree. In fact, my hillbilly ass was an accident when they hired me here. They thought I had one. You know, they had recruited me so many times. And then after they hired me, we signed the paperwork. The dude called and was like, hey, I never even got your resume. And I was like, oh, shit, I'll type you one up, send it tonight. You know, it's already a done deal. Next day he calls me. He's like, you didn't finish it. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you left off your education. I was like, says Hilton Head High School, don't it? He was like, yeah. I'm like, then I did it. And he was like, where's your college? And I was like, no college here, homie, you know. So anyway, that's when we started, you know. And then, of course, I came in and did well. And it was like, listen, we need the degrees. We need the MBAs, but we need some skilled hands, too, out here, you know. And not all of us need to be number guys, you know. We need you just like you need us. So anyway, we've been hiring a lot more. Chris is one of them, you know, and he's been doing really well. And, you know, we're trying to get him up to speed. Like I said, when you're out there doing the technical thing, it's one of them things that's hard to learn in a book, right? You just kind of got to get out there and be in it and, you know, fuck a bunch of shit up to learn what not to do again and, you know, how to patch shit together. And, you know, so we're working hard to get him up to speed, but he's crushing it, doing a great job. And he was the first one that we were able to, you know, get over here. And now we've hired a few more since him. Well, we just got another one over in the Gulf region. He was with me this week at that show in Little Rock, and you know, he came from Greenbrier 18 years, rail car, you know, CWI. He knows what he's doing, he can weld. So now we're just trying to get him educated on ESOB, right? So, yeah, we're starting to hire some more of these guys that are hands, you know, welders out of the welding industry, bringing them in, teaching them what we do so that we can have some more skilled, you know, technical people out there in the field with our sales guys. It takes an army, bro.
It's crazy that you brought up Colton, because when he used to post on social media like crazy, and so he would do a live every night, a live stream on TikTok when he went by Whiskey Wayne, like strictly by Whiskey Wayne. And he's actually the one that got me to make my first post like 5 or 6 years ago or whatever, before he worked at Western Welding Academy. And then when he announced that he was going to work there, and he gave the channel to somebody else, and whoever, you know, ran his account just like put it straight into the ground. So
that's what he was telling me. He's got a good thing going on up there, though. You know, I got a lot of respect for Colton. He works hard, he does a good job, and he's honest to me, at least. You know, we've had a really great relationship up there. You know, and they like, so obviously I told you I didn't do shit on camera to tell the Blue Collar Tour, and they were really the ones that kept pushing me to do it, right? They had a media guy named Bo back in the day, and you know, me and Bo really quickly hit it off, still talk with him a lot. You know, great dude's got his own marketing company now, but he was the one that kept pushing me, you know, and kept helping me and giving me advice. And you know, everybody that gets on the internet at first goes down the rabbit hole, right, of all the assholes that tell you you're a piece of shit and can't weld, and they got their code book out and whatever else, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, kind of taught me a lot more about don't go down the rabbit hole. You know, if they're taking time out of their day, all your company cares about is the numbers. Go in there and poke them, you know what I'm saying? So Colton and Bo and those guys up there really pushed me at the beginning, because, like, even when I started this shit, like, I wasn't big on jumping on that camera at Blue Collar Tour either. You know, and they kept really pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to do it. And, it ended up really good for me. You know, like most things, I was just hard headed and stubborn and should have listened to people and didn't, you know. Colt's been real good to me, man. I got a lot of respect for that dude. He's been, hell, every time I go up there, I'm always missing shit. He'll take me to his house, let me raid his fucking garage, steal all his cables and shit. You know, so he treats me pretty well when I, you know, I don't know if you ever been up there, but it ain't easy to get to Gillette, Wyoming. It's one of the few places I go that I can't get a direct flight to. You know,
yeah, so they're out in the middle of nowhere. I've been dying to go out there and be a vendor, but haven't gotten invited yet. But man, they're out there in the middle of nowhere.
They are. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But there ain't shit out there. You know, so anyway, yeah, I'm always over at his house raiding his home shop and shit, stealing all his leads and stingers and whatever the hell else I need to make it work. So yeah, he's been real good to me. And Western, right? I mean, the Blue Collar Tour, you know, we're getting ready to kick off the 2026. We're having all the meetings, wrapping up the stops, you know, getting ready for next year. And it was also good for my old crusty welder soul, right, to get out there and see these young kids that were, you know, excited about the industry. And, you know, 'cause prior to Blue Collar, I was like everybody else, this younger generation don't want to work, don't know, you know, what they're doing. And you get out there and learn that you just ain't talking to them right or showing them the right things. And when you do, man, they get really engaged and really into it and ain't scared to work, you know. So it was good for my old crusty soul to get out there and do that Blue Collar Tour and see all that excitement, you know, in the industry with the younger generation. And, you know, I was quite blown away at quite a few of the youngsters that would come in and lay down a slick one. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bird shit too, but then somebody come through and really surprised the shit out of you, you know, at 16 years old. So it was fun, you know, and I look forward to doing it again this year, you know. So
There's one guy, I don't know him, but I know of him from my town, Grand Island, Nebraska. I don't know if he was fully involved with the Blue Collar Tour or it was just one show that he went to that might have been in Nebraska, but I think he's a sales rep for ESOP named Scott Ruling.
Scott's my homeboy, man. Yeah, Scott's been around a long time, man. He's old welding instructor. He covers Nebraska. He's a sales rep for us. Tall bastard, ornery as shit, you know. But we get along great, man. He's one of my buddies here at the company. We were talking yesterday. He's working a big account up there, some automation, and we were going through some different settings and whatnot with different wires. But yeah, Scott's a good one, man. Scott's been around a while. He's come up to Western with me a few times. You know, Scott's one of them ones I'll call out to help me because he can weld. You know, so if I'm doing something real big and need some welders, Scott's one of the ones that'll let me take from the sales side to bring out because he really can lay it down and does understand welding and all that jazz. You know, he's got a big old farm up there, bunch of little shit ass kids running around like me, you know, make us all keep coming back to work, pay for all them damn kids, you know. But Scott's a great one, man. Scott's a good dude. I like him a lot. He's funny as hell. Another one that ain't scared to work. He'll come out there, put in a 12-hour day with you. You know, no problem. I ain't gonna say he ain't gonna bitch because he's got a little too much salesman in him these days. He's been doing it too long. I like to give him shit every now and then about it. But nah, Scott's one of my buddies, man. Scott Ruling's a good one.
He was a welding instructor at the college that both Andrew and I went to.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and then his son goes there now, or one of
Yep.
them.
Yep. Yeah, his other one's in the Army, I think. Just graduated. I can't remember if it was Army or Air Force, but I think it was Army. Just graduated basic training and all that, like maybe 2 months ago. Yeah. So yeah, Scott's a friend, man. Yeah, a lot of coworkers at ESAB, but there's definitely a handful of them that have been friends for a long time, and Scott's one of them. I bring him to Western with me when I do like the weld comp, you know, because their weld comp's huge. You know, so I need all the damn help I can get when I do that event up there. So he came up this year and worked the weld comp with me. But yeah, he's a worker. He's a stud.
Does
You
he,
know,
do you know if he drives or flies? I wonder.
he flies to Gillette when he comes down there.
It's a 12-hour drive from here, but I wonder where the hell he flies out of.
I have no idea. I've never asked him. You
I
know, I
bet
know
there's
he.
a connection out of Kearney, if I were thinking, Brent. I would think
Thanks.
Kearney out there would be a pretty popular one.
He beat me there this year because my flights got all fucked up due to weather, so I ended up getting in like 18 hours later than I was supposed to. So he beat me there this year. You know, yeah, this year we had all kinds of issues getting our people in. A lot of them got in like 3 in the morning the day before. I had to be there at 6. You know, there was a lot of drag ass going on at the event.
Yikes.
You know, this year because people's flights got screwed up. You know, but we got it done, made it happen.
Is any ESOP people going to be at PRI next week in Indianapolis?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Mitch. He's the regional manager up that way. There's so much shit that goes on here that unless I'm like, I don't, well, I doubt it because Mitch is with me next week. We have a new hire training in Denton next week. I think we got like 18 new hires coming in.
Wow.
I mean, he teaches with me. So he's a regional manager. You know, we both worked in sales together, but he's a weld engineer out of Ferris. He's a stud ass welder, super educated. He's been with ESOP for like 23 years right out of college. So he teaches with me a lot when my counterpart can't. My counterpart wasn't able to make it, Jeff Brown, this week. So he's coming down to help teach arc equipment with me. So I don't know. I'll ask him. I don't know if anybody's going to be up there. I know his guys stay jamming up there. You know, Minch is definitely one of the studs at the company. You know, and a close personal friend. You know, he's my ginger ninja out of Detroit. You know, well, he's a stud, man. And now he's getting older, so his ginger's like going gray too. You know? So he's like a ginger silver fox these days. You know, he's got that salt and chili pepper. He's a good one though. He'll be down in Texas with me. Like I said, we got a lot of new guys. We've been investing a lot of resources and adding resources. We've run a lot leaner than Red and Blue does here. As far as boots on the ground, we're probably like half of Red and Blue as far as resources here in North America. So we've been adding a lot. Like I said, I think there's like 18, I can't remember, 15 or 18 new hires that'll be at this training. If new hires, some of them might be here 2 weeks, some of them might be here 3 months. You know, they got to work through all their online modules as well. So, but we bring them in and do, you know, these new hire trainings are pretty rudimentary, right? It's like basic welding, basic processes, basic safety, basic just getting them introduced, right? Making sure they don't blow themselves up with some, you know, 483 phase and shit. You know, that kind of jazz. So these ones are pretty rudimentary, but still a lot to go through with a lot of new people that are lost. So it can be time consuming, you know, with the new guys trying to. And you know how new guys are, right? Like you'll ask them a question, everybody acts like they know nobody wants to be, you know. So it's like you kind of got to beat it out of them a lot. Like, okay, tell me. Everybody's shaking their head. Somebody tell me what it is. You know, and then you get a lot of them, you know, so. It's a little different teaching those classes compared to some of our advanced classes or advanced process classes, automation, stuff like that. But still fun, right? To meet the new guys, give them shit. We call them all FNGs, fucking new guys. We always tell them they got to be around a year before we put their real names in our phone and shit like that. You know, like to give them a hard time, have a lot of fun. Like, you know, we hand out a lot of prizes, like goose prizes to them. Like, we get one of them mud flaps with the male stripper on it, and whoever strips out the most screws gets that. They're our head stripper, you know, for the class. You know, we do a lot of gag gifts like that with the new guys just to keep it light and fun and, you know, keep them engaged. So it's a little rudimentary, but it's usually a pretty good time.
Huh. It's funny. Well, Justin, I, when Brent told me we were doing a podcast this morning, I went ahead and wrapped up your hood here. I'll send you some pictures, but I wanted to wait, but she's as yellow as I could get her.
That's what we like, man.
And then a black top. So I'm going to get this sent out tomorrow for you, but I just want to show you that I got it finished, and I'll send you some pictures when I'm done here.
Dude, I can't wait to put that thing to work, man. Yeah, you know, and you're right, that yellow's bright. That's why I just slapped them stickers all over, kind of tones it down a little bit, you know.
I mean, I had it out in the sun. I put a clear coat on. I'm like, dad gum, like this, it hurts to look at.
You're like, it's flaring on me, you know. So, yeah.
Like, I hope he really likes this yellow, because dad gum.
I mean, Esau, like I said, they're serious about that yellow, you know.
Well, I hope they like seeing this in your video, because it's yellow enough, that's for sure. But
well, I mean, we don't make nothing like that, and they put me outside welding all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm basically welding by, you know, feel and sound. You know, I can't see shit, because that sun just comes in those auto hoods reflecting off that lens, and it's like
big old lens. Yeah, this will definitely help you on with that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was like, I need something when y'all put me outside where I can, because then they want to show your welds and shit, and I'm like, I couldn't even see what the hell I was doing, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, yeah, go ahead, everybody thinks, you know, every weld's shit anyway, so post it up there,
it's pretty much how it goes.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to post the bad ones too. Like, I've been doing this 25 years, I still have days I walk in where I feel like everything I touch goes to shit. Like, I've never welded before. I second guess every fucking decision I've made in my life up to that point. Like, you know, I feel like they should know that no longer how long you've been doing this, this fucking industry will humble you all the time. No matter how long you could have done it a million times, you'll go in there and just feel like you can't get it. You know what I'm saying? So I post everything, whether they're good welds, bad welds, whatever. I don't give a shit. And I tell everybody I'm the most mediocre welder in North America. You know? I'll stick some shit together. So I can't wait to get that hood out here and, you know, put that thing to work, man. You make some beautiful hoods, brother. I've been admiring
Thank you.
Them for some time. You know,
I appreciate that. It means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I'm a fan. I'm a fan for sure.
Well, Justin, we got just shy of an hour of good footage, but we appreciate your time. And here's one question that we ask every single guest before we end each episode. What is your favorite genre of music to listen to while you work or weld?
Y'all gonna laugh. Usually like some hood ass shit, even though like I'm from the trailer park. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually bumping some hood ass shit when I'm working, just because it kind of keeps me a little more upbeat. You know, and I'll go through phases. Sometimes I'm, you know, in a country phase or a rock phase, but usually it's gangster ass rap. And I also do it because it pisses off a lot of my hillbilly coworkers when they come in on bumping, you know, Young Dolph or something, you know, Kevin Gates, something like that. And it pisses everybody else off too. So I like to stir the shit pot as well. You know,
well, we appreciate your time. We'll put your social media links in the show notes. So anybody listening who hasn't heard of Justin and wants to follow him along with his campaign of making ESOB cool again, you can you can follow along there. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you coming on and, you know, involving the social media side of welding, because hopefully, you know, more companies see the success that you've had with it and continue to do it as well. To the listeners, I'll have my Everlast link and the Edge Welding Cups link in the show notes as well. And Andrew?
And you can check out sunleatherworks.net. Link will be in the show notes as well as my Everlast link. Go get some custom welding hoods. As you can see, we built some pretty cool stuff. So, Mr. Justin, thank you for coming on. And like Brent said, thank you for involving us. I guess you could say smaller fish, the social media influencers and whatnot. And making, you know, making ESOB American. That's what we appreciate. So thank you for coming on, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Big fans of you guys. You ain't small in my world. I see your ugly mugs all over everything on the internet. And so, man, I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good weekend. Let's do it again sometime, fellas.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.